right? All of God's promises are yes and amen. So this first song is going to be new. Feel free to sing along as you learn it. There's a call and response, so I need your help. I need your help. Lift those voices loud, and if you miss it this first time, it'll come back around. All right, let's all stand and worship. Truth every day. Jesus, my heart has been changed by you. I couldn't walk away if I tried. Your love is better than life and the sun shining bright, and it just won't set. Cause your love is alive and it rocks my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy overtakes and I can't forget about it.
Is planned, and we hope that you'll not only come, but that you'll invite a friend. We've got some great music, some great messages, some great experiences to be enjoyed and to be uplifted in the Holy Spirit about. Also, I want to make sure that you are aware that we are, after spring break is over, that we're back into our Lenten dinner and devotional schedules. So if you'll see those times that are given to us on Wednesdays, and it's 5:45 for the meal. And then about 6:10, 6:15, we have a little devotional. And then for the youth and children, they can go into their classes and areas. And then if you're still in a class, mine's over, but I think Chase is still leading his, then those are following that. Okay, and then, of course, we have choir on Wednesdays. And then the Easter Festival, that's the day before Easter, and that's going to be a lot of fun. Just have all kinds of things come on. I mean, you can see, petting zoo, who wants to miss that? Pony rides, who wants to miss that? Egg hunt, picture with Mr. Bunny, that would be a great photo op. So be sure that you, again, bring some friends from your neighborhood to that. Senior Sunday is, wow, it's almost here, April 30th, and that's going to be a very special time in this service when we recognize our seniors. There will be opportunities for you to sign a little note of encouragement and hope to them in the books that will be out next to their names and their posters and such. So we're so very proud of our seniors, and we love them so much and wish them well. So anyway, those are the things that are going on in the life of the church. There's lots to be going on. Holy Week is going to be just a very meaningful experience, and then it's not over then. We've got UMW Sunday on the Sunday after Easter, and then, of course, Senior Sunday the Sunday after that. So anyway, that's how God is blessing us here today. Praise be to God.
Let's all stand and worship again this morning.
Amazing grace. This is unfailing.
Those kiddos come on up here. Got some children's moments. Mr. Clark.
Good morning. Come on over here. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever been to a parade? Yeah? Or have you ever been to a big game and you were excited about being there, but you couldn't see. You had trouble seeing. Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Because you guys aren't fully grown yet. Yeah? Well, you know what that's like, where you're at a parade or you're at something and you want to see and you can't see because you're not tall enough. Well, today we're going to hear a story. There's a story in the Bible about a parade that came, something that was like a parade that came to this city, Jericho. And there was this little man, and he couldn't see over the crowd. And so what he did, because he really wanted to see this person who had worked miracles and had done these wondrous things, this man's name was Jesus, and this little man wanted to see Jesus, and he was a wee little man. Does anybody know what his name might have been? A wee little man was he. Zacchaeus. And so what did he do? So that he could see, what did he do?
He climbed a tree.
That's right, Jimmy. He climbed a tree.
He did taxes too.
You're right. You're right about you. That leads right. That's a perfect segue, Seth, because Zacchaeus was a tax collector and people did not like him. And the reason they did not like him is because, he cheated people out of their money. But Zacchaeus, anyway, he wanted to climb this tree and see Jesus, so he climbed up there and Jesus walked by. And what did Jesus do?
He said, came down because he was going to come to his house.
Man, you guys know this story inside and out. He said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm coming to your house today. And he came to Zacchaeus' house, and everybody was like, why is he going to Zacchaeus' house? He's a bad guy. But he came to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give back all the money I took times four, and I'm going to give half of my money to the poor people. And Jesus said, you're forgiven, and change your ways. And so Zacchaeus changed because he met Jesus. And you know, we can meet Jesus. He's always there. He's always there for us. And so today I thought we would do something kind of cool. We're going to take turns, and we're going to do this pretty fast. But I have a friend strategically located down the hallway holding a sign that you can only read by standing up on the stage and looking through this pair of binoculars like this. So, Jimmy, why don't you go stand up on stage by that microphone and see if you can look down the hallway and see what this sign says. Come over here. Now, he's way down there. See that man in the pink shirt? Mm-hmm. All right, look through your binoculars and see if you can read what the sign says.
It's blurry.
It's blurry? All right, let me try to help you out here. All right, Jimmy, now look through it. Can you read it? Now look at it. Can you see what it says? Now look. I bet you could tell without the binoculars now.
Jesus loves you.
That's what it says. All right, good job. All right. So you had to work pretty hard to see the message that Jesus loves you, but the good news is we know he loves us. Let us pray. Dear God, we know that when we look for Jesus, he is always there for us, and he loves us. Amen.
Always so good to see our kiddos. If you'll look in the bulletin for those that we want to remember in prayer today, we have a lot of families that are not with us in worship today because they're enjoying some good spring weather and are out traveling and enjoying some vacation time, which is always wonderful. So we're going to pray for safe travels for them. But also we want to lift up Susan York in the loss of her father, Joseph Burns. And we have so many others that we need to continue to keep in prayer. So let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Heavenly Father, we gather in your holy presence and we offer up our prayers to you. We love it that we can talk to you and know that you hear not only our words, but you hear our hearts. We pray for these persons that we have listed in our worship today, and we pray for those that are written upon our hearts. Pray, dear God, for this country, for its leadership, for when our leaders succeed, we all benefit. And God, we pray for the leadership of this church, that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead all of us. For when we listen to your Spirit and move forward in your action, blessings will follow. Most gracious Heavenly Father, during this Lenten season, it's difficult to think about Jesus and the trauma and agony that he went through so that we could have eternal life. But it's also a time of joy to know that we are so loved, he was willing to go through the agony and misery of the cross so that we could know his love, feel his love, be in love with our Savior and share his love to others. So God, we thank you. We pray for those who are away from us, both in body and mind and heart. We know sometimes things like addiction take our loved ones away from us, even though they are physically present. We know there are times when others are feeling despondent due to some kind of loss. We pray for them as well. Father, help us to always remember, no matter what life brings into our lives, that you are always right there. You are a prayer away. And you are with us always. For that is a promise of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. I will be with you always. So in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer this prayer in honor of the one who taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we invite our ushers to come forward as we receive our morning offering, again, just be mindful of all the missions and ministries that your gifts support. And if you're not aware of what those are, please go on our website, because they're listed under the link Missions and Ministries. So I invite you to do so. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, what a joy it is to be in mission and ministry, because what little we offer you in your miraculous power and love, you multiply them greatly, and wondrous things are done for your kingdom. So now, God, may we give generously and look for great things through our gifts because of your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will I believe you when you say your hand will guide my every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment, every day? Will I will walk by faith even when I help me to rid my endless fears? You've been so faithful for all my years. With one breath you make me new. Your grace covers all I do. Yeah, yeah. Even when I cannot see, well, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Well, I'm broken, but I still see your face. Will you spoke up praise? Well, I will walk by faith even when I cannot see. Well, because this broken road
could be going in our own minds, Lord, we just ask you to take those fears, take those worries, lift them so that we can come to you open, ready to receive your word this morning. We worship you and we are so grateful for the gift of your Son.
Feel joy in your heart this morning. Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
In 35 years of ministry, I've never missed a Palm Sunday. But I hope that you'll forgive me because I'm going to miss next week with you all, as it'll be the day after our daughter's wedding, which I'm performing up in Fayetteville, Mount Sequoia. So for any of you purists out there, I hope you'll not be offended that I'm going to do Palm Sunday today because I didn't want to miss it. I share with you God's holy word, Mark 11, verses 1 through 10. May you be empowered, inspired, challenged by this word of God. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt and tied at the door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it and sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before them and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David and is coming. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. So we've kind of gone from moving mode to wedding week mode. That begins kind of today. But yesterday, we were trying to get as much in place so that when we came home, it wouldn't be in all disarray because we would be tired. And so we worked really, really hard yesterday to get the rooms in place. My task was to unpack all of my mother's and grandmother's crystal and china and clean, you know, Windex all the little glass shells and the whole bit of the hutch. And then also, we inherited Tony's mother's curio cabinet, so I had to do all that with that too. But as I was opening up some of the crystal pieces, which some suffered casualty in the move, I cried about that a little bit, but got over that. I brought out my mother's Rose Point Crystal Cambridge relish dish. Now, the relish dish has five little compartments, okay? I only saw this dish growing up twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. But my mother, being very methodical, always put the same things in the relish dish in the same place twice a year, every year, as long as I can remember. The items were, right-hand corner, pickled peaches. Ah, nobody ever ate those. Celery sticks. Green olives, black olives. Now, we're looking at the Mount of Olives today. Well, growing up, I kind of liked green olives, still do, but I wouldn't touch the black olives because I thought they were like bananas. If they turn black, they're no good, right? I now eat a few black olives. We've been into the mountains this Lenten season, haven't we? We've been to Mount Moriah. We've been to Mount Carmel and Elijah in the contest. And we've been to Mount Zion last week. And today we do Mount of Olives, or also known as Mount Olivet. Mount of Olives was located on the eastern, or actually to the east of Jerusalem. And it was across the Kidron River Valley. And as you came to it, you looked up and it was some 2,700 feet high. And so because of that summit point, it became a wonderful place for Jesus to go to. He saw the majestic views of his beloved Jerusalem and the beautiful gardens. He would go there and get great comfort, great inspiration to help him, to equip him to deal with this tremendous mission and ministry that God had given him to do. The Mount of Olives had become an important place for Jesus, too, in which to develop his personal faith as he remembered again, as we've been talking about all during Lent, the special mountains and the historic spiritual value they had because of some of the things and events important to spiritual faith of the ancestors. So the Mount of Olives was the place that King David crossed as he was fleeing from King Absalom. The prophets also refer to Mount Olives a couple of times. Ezekiel had a vision of the cherubim on the chariot, and they're leaving the temple and taking the glory of the Lord upon Mount of Olives. And that's a prophecy, don't you see, of Jesus leaving the temple in the glory of the Lord and going then his final days to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah, in his prophecy, predicted the day of the Lord in which the Lord would come and judge all peoples and be king of all people. And on the day that that would happen, the Mount of Olives, 2,700 feet in the air, would be transformed to a deep, great valley. So the mountain was important to Jesus. And if you'll look through the final days of Jesus, go through all four Gospels and read about his final days, you'll see that he taught in the temple during the day, and then he would rest in the Mount of Olives to pray. Jesus entered Jerusalem by the road that descended to this mountain. And as he entered, as we just read, people would remove their cloaks and lay them down on the road before him, which was the manner to do for a king. The children, not having cloaks like the adults would have, took what they had, the branches off of nearby leafy trees, and they waved them as children will wave feathers and branches in the air, and then they placed them down. For they could tell it was parade. They could tell this was something big. They could tell this was a festive moment. And they shouted out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is our King, Messiah, that God has given to us. But oh, how soon in life we experience a high and then a low. Jesus couldn't stay as a knight in shining armor on a charger. He couldn't stay and save you and save me. No, he had to go to dark Gethsemane. Gethsemane, beautiful, beautiful hamlet on the western slope of the Mount of Olives. It is not only a garden, but with the lush olive groves there, it has a sense of special quiet and the trees kind of making a sacred refuge. And Gethsemane translates to oil press. And wasn't our Jesus pressed to the max of what he would face? The scriptures tell us he was in agony. praying to the point where drops of sweat poured forth from his forehead like blood pouring down to the ground. His friend, out of all of his 12 closest friends, the one that he entrusted the money, what little there was, to guard over the money, the one that he really entrusted to be the general manager for Team Disciple, betrayed him. Have you ever been betrayed? It feels awful. It feels awful. The one that you love, the one that you've shared everything, the one that you've shared confidences with, the one that you may have grown up with, the one that you have leaned on at work or leaned on in the family, suddenly does something, says something, does something that is so opposite of what your relationship has been founded upon for so long. And it feels like you got kicked in the gut. And you don't understand that kind of betrayal. And you wonder if the price is worth it. And to seal the deal, literally, the deal that Judas had made with the chief priests, he added sting, salt to the wound, and kissed Jesus on the cheek. You see, a kiss on the cheek in that culture was a sign of love. It was called a holy kiss. And there was nothing holy about that moment. They took Jesus away like a common criminal. He found himself leaving one hill only to travel to another, Calvary. What would be the key things that Jesus would need to face the cross? Let me put it to you this way. Friends, what would you do to prepare yourself to be tortured? What would you do? What would you do to prepare yourself knowing that every step you're taking is bringing you closer to an unbelievably awful death? What would you do? Would you try to psych yourself out? Would you try to hypnotize yourself? I mean, what would you do? Very, very important for us to look at what Jesus did. Because even in death, he's teaching us. The first thing he did was he prayed. You see, he had taught his disciples then, and of course you and me now, the importance of prayer. People would come to him to be healed, and he would tell them to pray. And when he taught the prayer, he would remember to pray himself anytime he was about to teach or preach or heal. He knew to pray to fortify himself. He knew to practice what he preached. Remember what he said about prayer? What he said about faith? If you pray hard enough, if you have faith deep enough, you can move this mountain. Well, he was having to come full force onto his own words to pray and have faith deep in his soul, his mind, and his body. As you remember the Christ, you remember these words. We just said them. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But if you remember Jesus Christ, the man, the fellow human being, then you hear these words in Gethsemane. Oh, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Do you see what happened in that prayer? He took the focus off of protecting himself, and that prayer transformed into submitting and trusting God. Let us remember that when we go to our knees and with our hands and pray. Because I guarantee you, when you and I start praying, it's all about ourselves. Oh, God, help me with this. Oh, God, I need your help with this at work. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Is it not always beginning about us, about self? Sure it is. That's the human side of us. But the beauty of prayer, the miracle of prayer, the power of prayer is when it comes off of self, it transforms to submission to God. Not my will, but yours be done. We pray it, it's time to start believing it and practicing it. Secondly, Jesus not only prayed, but learned to lean on his faith like never before. This recent move we've been going on, it's been something else. It's a whole nother sermon. The mess ups with the loan process, the scratches on the antiques, the broken kitchen table. Yeah, it's a whole nother thing. There were times within this whole process, because you got to remember, we've been trying to move for a year and a half now. This whole thing, at times we said, okay, God, I don't know about this. What's going on here? Why the wait? Why the delay? Why the hesitation? Why all the impatience that we're feeling and all the frustration and why? You see, that prayer started with self. But at some point, we decided to practice faith. God, I don't understand this, but you do, and you've got a reason, and you're going to be with us, and you're going to help us, and we're going to just submit and let you take over. Because there's really not anything I can say, pray, or do that's going to change things. So I'll do what I should have done in the first place. Just say thank you, trust you, and wait patiently. As I think about Jesus, I think about the obstacles, the major obstacles. The things that Jesus had to endure to strengthen his faith. And it began on day one. He's preparing for ministry, but he has to overcome the king of evil. He has to deal with the temptations, the challenges. You got challenges in your life right now? Sure you do. Are they going to go away anytime soon? Probably not. Are they going to hound you and burden you? Jesus says, come. My yoke is easy. I will make your burden light. He had to deal with the temptations in the wilderness on an empty belly for over 40 days. He often escaped death. How many times do people try to run him out of town on a rail, literally? How many times did they try to push him over the cliff or plot to kill him? We read that over and over in the scriptures, plot to kill him. There was a bid on Christ's head. There was a hitman or two. And so often we read these words, and he passed through the crowd. He would be protected by God from harm. And he would need to remember that. He would develop and draw from his own spiritual powers. I mean, he'd heal someone, and chances are he'd probably say, well, that's kind of cool. Glory to God. Look what my Father has enabled me to do for another human being. And that goodness would sustain and develop him. He would study scriptures. And those scriptures would be his resource for resolve and decisions. So often we read scriptures. Now, where was that? And we read it for a detail. So often we read scriptures as the historical figure or the humorous analogy. Or we read it for a proof of something, that we're trying to prove a point. But not Jesus. Jesus read the scriptures to empower himself so that he would make better decisions. How often do you go to scripture on any given day before you make a decision? The answer is we should all do that first thing. He would fast and he would gain again a deeper resolve. These are all things we can do that our Lord did, that we must do, that we should do in order to develop our personal faith. But instead, what do we find ourselves doing when we're facing a situation? We may immediately panic. This doesn't feel good. I wasn't ready for this. I'm not wanting to deal with this. I've got things to do. I've got a life to live. I don't want to be messed up by this. So instead of stopping and praying about it, instead of going to the scriptures to get spiritual strength and guidance from it, we'll go find the nearest ear. And that may be a spouse, or that may be a friend, or that may be a family member, that may be a coworker, and we find ourselves just spilling our guts to them. And we're going to put the burden on them to give us the counsel and the advice so that then we make a decision based on our collective ideas. Now, that's not to say we can't share with other individuals. That's what builds relationship. I get that. But that's not the way you make a spiritual decision. That's not the way Jesus did it anyway. And aren't we always about following Jesus? You take it to the Lord. You take it to Scripture. You take it to prayer. And you are strengthened in your faith. The third thing, Jesus remembered God's promises. Let me share them with you as reminders. Jesus said in John 16, "My going is for your good, for if I did not go, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could not come to you. But if I go, I can send him to you." I mean, Jesus couldn't physically be everywhere that all of us needs for him to be with us and to answer us. No, he died, he was resurrected, and his Spirit is available so that we can come to him at any point in time and his Spirit can speak to us. Jesus knew God was with him. In John 16, 31, Jesus said, "The hour is coming when you will all be scattered and leave me alone. But I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify himself and glorify him at once." That sounds like a lot of glorifying, doesn't it? But I love that verse. And you know why I love that verse? Because it reminds me, as it should remind you, that every word that proceeds from your mouth and proceeds from my mouth and every act that comes from my hands and comes from my feet and comes from your hands and comes from your feet should be about only glorifying God. Amen? I mean, think about it. Why were you placed on this earth? Not just to procreate children, not just to have a successful business, not just to preach the word. But all that we do is to be about glorifying God. So don't go up there and look at the words on the screen and not sing. Praise God. Glorify God. That's why you're here. Don't pass someone you've not seen in a while. Speak to them. Share the Spirit of God with them. Love them. Care for them. That's why you're here. Do it in the name of Jesus. You see an empty chair, somebody that used to sit there, somebody that's gone somewhere, somebody that might be sick. You see their name in the bulletin. What are you doing? Share the love of Christ. Glorify God. Jesus made us promises. Truly I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live, and whoever believes in me shall never die. That's not just a scripture for funerals. That's a scripture for every day. To celebrate your salvation, to celebrate your eternal life. Amen. Oh, come on. When you die, you're not dead. You're going to live eternally. That's something to shout and praise about. There you go. Come on. Y'all must be hungry and ready to go to lunch. Fabulous promises. These are real and these are true. The Bible is full of them, overflowing with them. They're real. They're actual. They're waiting there for you to be discovered. When things aren't going well, go ahead and praise God. Say, okay, you're just helping me flex my faith. I understand. I'm going to come to you first, and we're going to get through this. See, that's what Jesus did. He relied on prayer. He relied on the scriptures. He relied on his faith like never before. And he relied on God's promises. The death was not the end. The cross was not the end. Resurrection power. On a hill far away stood our Savior, descending the Mount of Olives. Facing Jerusalem, where he would encounter yet another hill, that of Calvary. Can you imagine, as I asked you earlier, the fortitude, the mindset, the attitude, the heart-attitude that he must have had to walk up those steps, to walk each step bearing his own cross, and his now beaten, whipped, bleeding, tortured body. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. Every day, glorify God. Okay? Every day. Because he loves you that much. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, there's not enough love in our beings, or not enough words in our knowledge, not enough energy in our body to praise you enough for the gift of your Son to give us eternal life, to give us grace. May we operate in the mode of grace, the kind of grace that's sacrificial, the kind of grace that's all-encompassing, and the kind of grace that trusts in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd invite the congregation to stand as we prepare to sing our closing song this morning. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, or like to come forward to renew your faith, or would like to come forward to pray, I invite you to do so as we sing.
Yeah.
Amen, for sure. I just witnessed one of the most incredible things. In the soft, dim light, you as the body of Christ were swaying as if you were comforting yourselves with the resurrection power of the words of that beloved old hymn. The Spirit of the living God is among us, friends. We're still swaying. We're still feeling the spirit of the words and the intent of that song. Share the Spirit of God that has comforted you out among you today. Share it with people in need. Share it with people that are hungry for a kind word, a smile. Comfort them with the love of the old cross. Amen.